much you want to bet?
I don't bet.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
Professional football handicapping podcast in pain. I wasn't sure we were going to make it through year one, let alone be back for a second attempt to actually get this done the right way.
Season two. We're back. What was basically a pet project a few days before last season turned into something pretty successful. The viewers and listeners wanted us back, so we might as well appease them for a season two of Bet the Board.
And new improved podcast this year, as we're happy to announce that we've brought on Bet Online as the flagship sponsor and lines provider for the podcast. So we'll have some special offers available to all you loyal listeners throughout the course of the season. And more importantly, every Thursday throughout the course of the fall, we'll have their marketing director, Dave Mason, to talk about what the book's looking for the upcoming weekend, how the previous weekend went, and get that true behind-the-counter analysis from the offshores that's tough to find anywhere else. I know I'm excited to have Dave and Bet Online joining us as a partner. I imagine you feel quite the same, Mr. Payne.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good addition to the podcast. We'll get in there each and every week, talk about liabilities, talk about what side they're going to need, talk about what side big professional money's come in on each and every single week, just to add to your betting acumen each week when you get ready to go make your bets on Thursday, sometimes Saturday, and mostly on Sundays this season.
And for those new to the podcast just joining us, we typically record a Monday edition of the Bet the Board podcast, which recaps the weekend, and of course we'll preview the Monday night football game. As we know, a lot of folks, it may start or end your betting week, so it can become a way to really set the tone moving forward or to close with a flourish. And of course we'll be back every Thursday previewing the entire weekend and closing each of those Thursday podcast with a comprehensive breakdown of Thursday night football. We'll have a couple other specials along the way, try and keep things light and entertaining throughout the course of the season. But that is what the format will primarily look like. And of course, our focus today, previewing the 2015-2016 NFL season. And Payne, if there was any debate about what we were going to lead with on this podcast, I think Roger Goodell and the NFL made our decision pretty easy earlier this afternoon, announcing that Tom Brady's 4-game suspension has been appealed successfully. He will be under center for game one against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But for our purposes here, more importantly, what does that do to your outlook on the Patriots as far as win total? We'll get into some of the playoff specials and, of course, division odds as well. But let's start with that Patriots win total, which has fluctuated between 10 and 10.5.
You know, obviously, it's Tom Brady. We've seen what he can do to the market. We were at 3 before. We're up to 7 now for the game one of the regular season. 10, 10.5. This team is basically predicated on two guys. It's Brady, it's Belichick. I don't think there's a ton else there, but they're just consistently consistent, and that is why they're in the mix every single year. I think the division obviously got much, much tougher. The Jets aren't going to be an easy out. It's a fantastic defense. Miami, obviously, everybody's clamoring about this year. And the same goes with Buffalo. So I have no interest in this total. I know it's ticked up a little bit. I know there's been professional money on the Patriots over. I just can't do it. I think they're soft on the defensive line interior. Cornerback is a question mark. And again, just not a ton of weapons. I think they're going to bring in Reggie Wayne. We'll see how that helps things. Amendola. I just don't love this team. I think this might be the year that we see them come back to reality a little bit.
You're going to tell me that Jonas Gray isn't the key cog for New England trying to get back to defend their Super Bowl championship this year? I feel like that's blasphemy, Payne. Absolute blasphemy.
Picked him up off the Dolphins practice squad, and then he goes and tears it up in a national spotlight against the Colts. It was pretty interesting to see.
It was a regular season version of Timmy Smith in the Super Bowl for the Washington Redskins. He may not total that as far as rushing output is concerned over the course of 4 or 5 games if he gets back in Bill Belichick's good graces. But you talk about the Patriots, and a correction earlier, for those folks who wanted the full breakdown of the Patriots-Steelers game, we'll actually record the season opening podcast next Tuesday and go into greater detail exactly what the betting market did. New England getting as low as 2.5 at some points and may climb through that key number of 7, but our focus now remains on the big picture. And you mentioned the Dolphins. Those folks that have been loyal listeners know how accurate your handicapping of Miami has been. Currently, their win totals 8.5 over minus 165 at BetOnline. Does Miami have enough depth to be a 9-7 football team if there are injuries in key positions for the Finns this year?
Well, we saw this total get out to 9, and Sharp Money did hit it under 9, and that's kind of where we're looking at. Now, obvious juice on 8.5, so it wasn't a huge tick, but they are, I think, paper thin kind of describes Miami. And aside from ridiculous depth at the defensive line where they go 2 and 3 deep, and wide receiver is really deep, they're thin everywhere else. I think if you lose Grimes, your season's over. Koemisi's an average linebacker at best, but the season could be over if he's lost. That is just a really, really paper-thin unit there. Lose Lamar Miller, I think it's scary. There's just not anyone there that can tout the ball. I know internally they've been kind of throwing around the Fred Jackson name. We'll see what happens there. They kind of get away with the scare to Pouncey's knee. He seems to be fine. Brandon Elbert, still a few weeks away. I know they want to play with their shiny toy in Devontae Parker, but I think you sit him out. Two foot surgeries in 9 months, but they're trying to press him back for game one. What was really interesting is the Lewis Delmas loss, and I think a lot of, you look at all the PFF sites, and they don't really love him as a player, but he's really a leader. He gets everybody in the positions that they needed to be in. I know it was a small sample size, but last year the defense allowed 20 points per game. The three he was out, they allowed 38. So just getting guys in the right areas is key defensively. What I've seen so far with this team is Ryan Tannehill has taken that next step. Still not a ton of chemistry with Jordan Cameron or Kenny Stills. That's going to be this team... potential. They need Ryan Tannehill to be everything he can be and more. This needs to be that season for him. And I know when you look across the board at the numbers last year, he took great strides, but where he really, really was lackluster is the key downs. Third down, he wasn't very good last year. In the fourth quarter, he didn't show up very much last season. So those are the two areas that he's going to have to improve on. He was great between the 20s. I believe Miami averaged like 4.2 trips to the red zone per game, which was number 2 in the NFL, yet they're middle of the pack in scoring. So those are going to be the areas that Ryan Tannehill needs to improve on. And if he can take that next step, we saw a site like PFF rank him above Andrew Luck. God forbid he gets to the Andrew Luck level. He can carry this team. I mean, when you look at the Colts in comparison, it's likely a 4 or 5 win team without Andrew Luck. So if Ryan Tannehill takes that next step, he can really, really camouflage some of the areas of concern for the Dolphins.
And I think the one interesting part when you talk about the Dolphins, so many people disappointed in Tannehill and what he's been able to accomplish, but how quickly we forget this kid was a wide receiver at Texas A&M for the majority of his college career, and the fact that he's adjusted as quickly, sometimes that learning curve takes a little bit longer. He didn't have the luxury of sitting behind a Hall of Famer in Brett Favre like Aaron Rodgers did, letting him get his feet wet at the next level. So I think the Dolphins are going to be a fascinating story. And I know at this point we don't want to go into every single team, but I think obviously there's another member of that division that's caught a lot of attention. Big injury news with LeSean McCoy the last day or so, talking about is his hamstring torn? How much will that slow him down? Buffalo's win total sits at 8.5, under -165 at BetOnline. What do we think about the Bills? Are they a better than a 500 team? We know that defense is elite, but Tyrod Taylor is a starting quarterback. Can he really take them to the promised land and maybe get Rex Ryan to the postseason? But in our case, more importantly, to a 9-7 record, allowing you to cash an over ticket.
You know, I don't know. This is a team that just seems to be getting so much love from everywhere.
The Rex factor, baby. The Rex factor.
Yeah. And, you know, I like him. I like what he did in that last preseason game. Kind of made his decision easy. It looked like all the quarterbacks were ready. He shuffled them in and out. So he kept them on their toes. And we've seen, you know, this style, this rah-rah stuff, have a great impact early on in a team's tenure. And Buffalo's talked about how much they dislike Doug Marrone. So I think it's definitely addition by subtraction early on in his tenure with Buffalo. Tyrod Taylor, he brings them and gives them that element of being able to pick up first downs with his legs. I think if they can stay ahead of the chains, you know, 2-3 yards is great on first down. It's not going to be an offense that can play from, you know, third and long. And they're going to have to rely on this defense. And I think the defense obviously could be the very best in the NFL if the offense doesn't put them in bad position. So it's going to be led by the defense. If the offense can stay away from the mistakes, I mean, they're going to be in ball games, and I know not to look too far ahead, but, you know, it's that game we've circled on the calendar week 2. We'll see how that comes about. So it's not a team that I'm running to bet their season win total, but we'll definitely look to play them in certain spots with that defense.
Yeah, I think that week two game will get plenty of attention as we do with the podcast leading up to that game. As you and I both know, could be an optimal spot to back Buffalo depending on week one results. The nice thing, Payne, about you and I doing this podcast and making our own rules as we go, we actually ignore the Jets' existence in the entire NFL. So we're not even going to talk about them individually or anything. We're going to pretend they don't exist until they start to win football games and cover. So we may as well shift our focus to the AFC North. We look at the Browns. We know some of their quarterback issues. The Bengals, I think, are an interesting team to try and watch. We don't know if Andy Dalton's able to take them to the next level. But the two that many have pegged up there along with Cincinnati as the favorites, Pittsburgh, they've been beset by injuries. Pouncey, Martavis Bryant suspended, Le'Veon Bell out two games. How do we even begin to go about handicapping the Pittsburgh Steelers and their win total, which sits at 8.5? I mean, this is a team that it's kind of a coin flip if they'll make the postseason as well.
I think you're spot on. I think it's a coin flip. I think the defense is really going to be very, very poor. They're going towards that youth movement. The offense is kind of taken over. It's really weird when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, the transformation they've had over the few years, really relying on Big Ben, really relying on that offense with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Spread you out, and the defense has kind of been the Achilles heel. I don't think that will change. I really don't. When you look at the other teams in that division, you know, we'll talk about the Browns. I think their defense has gotten much better. I think the Bengals' defense will be very good. For me in that division, I think I like the Ravens best. Just from an organizational standpoint, they're always going to be there. They always do the right things from an organizational standpoint. And you like that consistency as a bettor. You know what you're going to get. So for me, I like the Ravens the best in this division. I would really like the Bengals. I know a couple guys took a long shot on their future price. They're just so weak at the key cogs of this franchise with the head coach, with the quarterback, and that's what scares me. So I think this, again, is going to be one of those divisions that's completely up for grabs. The first team to 10 wins is going to be crowned AFC North champions. I just don't think the Steelers' defense is good enough. I would lean more towards the Ravens and Bengals in this division.
And Baltimore's win total, as you mentioned, sitting at over 9, you have to lay $1.50 at BetOnline. Currently, I think the Ravens are a very interesting team. I know you and I are both invested in the big picture for Baltimore at prices right around 25-1 for them to take home the hardware. As it pertains to the Lombardi Trophy, I think you can still find Baltimore out there in the market 21-22. A little bit different picture now than we bet them when they were slightly healthier. I still think it is a worthwhile wager for folks who want to tie up a little bit of cash and have chance for a big payday at the end of the year. When we look at the AFC South, I mean, we know who the favorite is in Indianapolis Colts. You mentioned Andrew Luck and what he means to this team. His potential absence probably worth 4 or 5 games at minimum. I make him a 9.5, 10-point player, which used to be unheard of in the NFL as far as individual point spread adjustments are concerned. But I think when you look at that second tier of teams, the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Tennessee Titans, you know I bust your chops every year because I feel like you go to the window with a Jacksonville Jaguars over ticket. Is this finally the year Blake Bortles and company break through?
I'm not sure anybody would consider the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Tennessee Titans a tier two team.
Well, in that division, it's all relative. They're tier two in that division. And I guess it's tier three or tier four because I don't really think there is a tier two because, in my opinion, the Texans still wouldn't even fall in that classification.
You know, I'm staying away from the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. I think, again, they're a team that's going to improve. They just were so bad. There was just no depth there. They continue to add parts, and they're all young. We'll see if Blake Bortles can take that next step. But when you really look at some of their wins last year, it's tough for me to say I'm going to go over 5.5, and I need 6 wins, when a couple of their wins last year they definitely did not deserve. You're talking about the Giants game, 21-3, you get a couple defensive scores. So I can't do it. I can't do it this year. When you look at the Tennessee Titans, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. Well, Marcus Mariota is the long-term solution there. We think there's better options at quarterback to start the season with Mettenberger. I'd probably be inclined to look over there if Mettenberger was the starter day one. The defense is still pretty poor, but you bring in Dick LeBeau, and just from a scheme type things, you would expect some improvement. You bring in Brian Arakpo, add him to your defensive line. You bring in Parrish Cox, add him to the secondary level of your defense. So I think it's a team that might be improved, a team that I think a lot of the sharp guys are going to look to ride from a point spread perspective, but they're not running to play this total. But there has been some money on the over 5.5. It actually got as high as 6. We saw some professional money come in on the under, but I think over 5.5 would be the only way to look for the Titans. Houston, it all comes down to the quarterback position. We know the defense is going to be great. Can Brian Cushing stay healthy? I think he will this year. But can you, do you have any quarterback play? Can you get any running back play? I like their weapons out wide. I really do. So can Hoyer get them the ball? And that's really going to be the question mark if they can vie for that AFC South title with the Indianapolis Colts.
Tennessee Titans right now, their win total sits at 5.5 over -150. And when you look at the Houston Texans, their number obviously a little bit higher, 8.5. You have to lay $1.35 if you're looking to go under the current number at BetOnline. You mentioned Cushing and the Hard Knocks effect and everything else. If the way Cushing has run his mouth during training camp is any indication, he's back to being 110%, I think.
Yeah, I love that guy. I hope he can stay healthy. He's my kind of guy. What's an interesting note, and we'll kind of talk about this later on, is when you're looking at some of these over-under win totals and some of the props, you really have to do your due diligence and shopping around. And we talk about Bet Online, even at a book like this. Indianapolis opened up a $3 favorite to win the division. It's now out to $5.50. Professionals had no hesitation laying $3 to get back one, now up to $5.50. But you know, we'll talk about this moving forward, is to make the playoffs, you have to lay $7 to win a dollar. So if you're looking at the Indianapolis Colts, shop around. I still think they provide some great value there to win the division. I think they're an 11-win team. I'm not going to go over the number at $1.60 when I have to tie up money for basically an entire season. But professionals did come out, laid the $3 to win the division on the Colts. And so it's always key to shop around, especially even at the same book.
And as you mentioned, we'll go through all those divisions kind of quickly at the end, talking about who we think is going to win each of the divisions in the NFL, along with where we think there's actual value to bet. The two things important to note for some of the recreational bettors listening to this podcast for the first time, thinking something and being able to back it with your hard-earned money because it offers value, two very different concepts. And it's tough for a lot of casual fans to try and grasp that. If you think Indy's going to win, well, it's a huge difference if you're risking $5.50, as you mentioned now, to win a dollar versus what you were able to do when the market opened initially at -$3. And speaking about huge favorites, a team that's been in that favorite role what seemingly every year in the AFC West with Peyton Manning, a coaching change, you bring in Gary Kubiak. You know, and you look at the Broncos right now, they're not that heavy a favorite to win the division. Their win total, not as high as what we've grown accustomed to in recent years as you look here. Only 10 wins. Kansas City has become trendy. I think the Chargers can be improved. I know Oakland may be better than people think. How do we begin to go about handicapping some of these win totals in the AFC West?
It's tough. I'm not a huge Kubiak guy, but I think he might be needed at this point in Peyton Manning's career. You get more of that run-first team. The offensive line is going to struggle this year, and when you have that zone scheme, it kind of hides your liabilities on the offensive line, so I think that'll be helpful. The defense should really carry this team, but I do think Knighton is going to be a huge loss, so it'll be interesting to see how teams attack Denver, and I think the way to do it is right up the middle, because not a great interior of the defensive line with Knighton out. Linebacker, still a little bit of a question mark. It's a pretty thin unit. But they're really good on the edges. They're really good in the secondary, so that'll be the key. Now, a lot of guys like Kansas City here. We've seen a move on their total, even though it hasn't moved a ton. We went from initially opening under 8.5, -$1.40. You're now out to over 8.5, -$1.45. For me, not as high on them. Not a huge Alex Smith guy. I know he really limits what the offense can do, and he's got a great TD to turnover ratio, but for me, a lot of question marks with how explosive they can be with him playing that style. Macklin, obviously injury prone, it's a huge addition. They need to get Kelsey more involved, but past those two guys, there's not a lot of weapons on the outside when you talk about potentially Avant being your number two playmaker, your number two wide receiver, so that scares me a little bit. And then the defense, could not stop the run last year. Poe looks like he could be out a few weeks. Linebacker, extremely thin. I know Johnson comes back, but what's he going to be back from his Achilles injury? We talked about it the other day. Have to love the Eric Berry story. Glad he's back in the NFL, but he looks like a shell of himself at this point. Sean Smith out 4 games with the suspension. I know Peters has looked great, so he might be able to fill in there. But Sean Smith is one of their best cornerbacks, out 4 weeks. When you talk about San Diego, a little bit of sharp money on the over. Not quite sure what they are defensively. And as you alluded to, while I'm not running to bet the Oakland Raiders over, I think they will be an improved team.
Oakland's going to be an interesting story. I know they've kind of been a big team that the professionals have looked to back seemingly every week over the last couple seasons. I think if David Carr continues to make steps in the right direction, they have a little more weapons. And I know you share pretty strong sentiments that Amari Cooper can be a fantasy savior this year if he gets about 300 targets in that offense.
Well, one thing we know is I'm not we know they're going to chuck the ball. They're going to be behind a significant amount. I'm not sold on Carr yet. I want to see what he can do when the games actually matter. He's been a good fourth quarter quarterback, dinking and dunking his way to some points and some backdoor covers, racking up the fantasy points for those guys who enjoy that. But I'm just not quite sure what they are. Jack Del Rio, I just get so sick and tired of the recycled, I guess, garbage. I think a lot of these franchises don't understand that recycled garbage isn't necessarily anything that's worth holding on to.
But no, it's still good. You're right. It's still garbage.
It's still garbage. So I'm not a huge Jack Del Rio guy. I don't think he brings anything to the table that's going to say, wow, this is pretty innovative stuff. But you know what? They get some talent there. They draft some young guys who can help out a little bit. They looked impressive through the preseason. So I don't think it's going to be a team that necessarily you see improves on paper. But I think they're going to be a tougher out.
Yeah, I think when we look at the way the AFC West is going to shape up, it's going to be an interesting division race to try and figure out. And I think we'll get a much better indication of what this new look Broncos team will be. Week one against the Baltimore Ravens, we've seen money come in on the under. We've seen money come in on the favorite. I think it's the Broncos defense that's going to have to do a lot to carry them. Now, can they carry them to 11 wins and can it, shake up the pecking order in that division? That really remains to be seen. One pecking order, though, that I think will get shuffled up as we shift gears towards the NFC and we look at the East. Dallas and Philly, obviously the clear-cut favorites. The Redskins have become a laughingstock of the NFL and a glorified dumpster fire, which is pretty impressive because their baseball team right now should be grouped into that same vein the way Matt Williams has handled things. But that's a different soapbox. And you look at the Giants. We know some of the offseason issues they've gone through, the JPP stuff. They get Victor Cruz back, but still a real liability in the secondary where I feel like they've lost every secondary or tertiary player that was going to contribute in nickel and dime packages so far this preseason.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where to start with this division. The New York Giants, they have taken some over money. We saw it some places. They go from 8 to 8.5. I really don't get it. The defense is just going to be downright dreadful. Injuries already running amok in the secondary. Your pass rush wasn't very good last year. Now JPP looks like he's going to be out. Beeson kind of is your glue, and he's very fragile. So I just don't know what they're going to do defensively. Offensively, that's great. They got some weapons outside. The offensive line looks a little bit improved. They're going to have a running game. I'm not an Eli Manning guy. I've never been an Eli Manning guy. So I'm really not sure what's going to go on there with the Giants. It's a team that I would look to go under the 8.5. Even though there has been some professional money on the over 8. Philadelphia, that is obviously the team that looks great in the preseason. Sharp guys are all over them this year, whether it's the division, whether it's the win total, whether it's for the Super Bowl. And they've looked like $1 million in the preseason to carry that over. Not sure how much value is left on them at this point in the game. Dallas, as long as they're going to have their offensive line, they're going to be in the picture in this division. It's such a good offensive line. It'll be interesting to see if they can get any of the ground game going to keep that defense off the field. For me, win total, I think you kind of echo the same sentiments. I think we'd like the over or the under 9.5 in that particular team. In Washington, they're Washington. I'm not doing anything with them right now. I do think Kirk Cousins is an improvement. We have seen what he's done in the past as a starter with teams getting full time to prep for him. He's not been the savior that people thought he was initially going to be, but at this stage in the game, anything is better than RG3.
Yeah, and I think you hit on the Eagles, and that number has kind of taken off. I know the Sharp guys went over 9. They were willing to lay a price upwards of minus $1.50. Now you have to lay $1.45 at BetOnline to go over 9.5. Dallas, I think, probably the most compelling team where you haven't seen a number number get beat up too much one way or the other. And at 9.5, only having to lay $1.20, I'll make the case that this Cowboys team, the way it looks to me, that they're not a 10-win football team unless Tony Romo can find a running back that he can lean on. Because if they go back to chucking the football 40 or 50 times a game, a defense that a lot of people called improved last year, but a deeper dive into the stats, they weren't much better in key metrics. They just weren't on the field nearly as much. I think Dallas could regress quite a bit this season and really believe that, you know, I won't say 8-8's their ceiling because the offensive line definitely gives them a chance every time they're out there and provides a fortress. But asking them even at 9-7, knowing that I can still win going under 9.5, that may be one of the best bets, in my opinion, for a number still currently available on the board.
Yeah, now, it scares me to death. We share a similar brain on that on that team. But I think the biggest talking point with Dallas is the schedule. And last year it was like cupcake soft. This year, it's a very tough schedule. It's the single biggest swing in schedules year to year. So I think that's going to play a huge role when you really look at it. Easiest game might be at Tampa in the middle of November. And at that point, I think Jameis Winston will be a little acclimated. You're going to a non-division opponent off the Eagles game. So I think it's a really tough schedule for the Cowboys this year.
Well, you talk about tough schedules, and I'm not sure if it's a tough schedule or just a lack of talent for a team that many believe last year could be a sleeper in the NFC coming out of the North, and that's the Chicago Bears. They're one of two teams that's taken probably the most under money of any of the sides out there, along with the 49ers. When we look at the North, we're not quite sure of Detroit's identity and how that defense is going to adjust to the life after Ndamukong Suh. Offensively, Matt Stafford, the reports have been great, but I'm not sure he deserves to be in that second tier of quarterbacks until he proves it. Green Bay, well, they're dealing with a ton of injuries themselves. But what do we make of this division right now? And talking about the Bears specifically, how low does this win total have to go before there's actually value maybe looking to bet them over, thinking that John Fox and the culture change at 6.5 under -135 may be worth a look, even though you can make the case the Bears might not be favored in that schedule in more than two or three games?
Yeah, for me, I'm not playing the Bears. A lot of sharp money came on the Bears. They laid the juice under 7. Even at 6.5, I'm not running to go over this total. I think they're going to be pretty bad. That being said, I think, unfortunately, they're going to be a team that the professionals and us are going to be looking to back pretty frequently.
We're gonna back bad teams with quarterback issues and poorest defenses. Never in my life have I done that kind of thing betting the National Football League, Payne.
So I think they're going to be decent against the point spread. I think the change in regime, I think there's been some additions to the defense. I think the scheme change will help there a little bit. They're going to go more to the ground and pound offensive variety there. Can Alshon Jeffrey get back? Can he be 100%? So that'll be the question mark there with the Bears. Again, nothing to do for me with the win total, but I think there'll be a team that we'll be looking at throughout the course of the season. When you look at this division, obviously the Packers rule the roost. Minnesota, taking huge sharp money on them all offseason, whether it's the win total, whether it's the division, whether it's the Super Bowl. And I think Detroit, I know we talked about this defense, I don't know what they are. Last year they were top 5 in many categories, and you look at this team and you're saying, man, there might only be one or two guys that are above average players in addition to Ndamukong Suh. So now that Sue's gone, I think the defense will be interesting, but the offense, you nailed it. Matthew Stafford's looked great all camp, all preseason. You add that element of a run game, it looks like, with Abdullah. And I think this team could be improved. Green Bay dealing with some injuries, but they, you have Aaron Rodgers. It masks so many problems. And one thing we talked about a lot was Jordy Nelson. While I think he's a little more valuable than you have him, when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he makes everyone around him better. And there's only a handful of quarterbacks that can do that to a team. And I think he makes those receivers much, much better. And I don't think it's a huge loss. Maybe they go to a little more ground and pound. I think the defense there is going to be pretty improved, though, for the Packers.
I do, and that's the one reason I think that Green Bay doesn't have as much of a pronounced drop-off without Jordy Nelson. Davante Adams, I think, can get into that role. He's going to need to mature at the position a little bit. Jeff Janis is going to be relied on a bit. I know he's climbed up a lot of people's draft boards as far as fantasy is concerned, but I think that defense doesn't get enough credit. Now, the Vikings are an interesting team, Payne. You mentioned how they've taken money from the professionals, and for a lot of the listeners out there. How would you go about it if you still believe that Minnesota can exceed their win total? You look at 7.5s out there, you have to lay upwards of $2. But BetOnline right now, Minnesota's win total sits at 8, over minus $1.30. We know they lost a key contributor on their offensive line in the preseason game against Tampa. Do we still think that there's an opportunity to back Minnesota at 8, laying $1.30? I know it's not the best of it, but for some of the recreational players who are believing in the Vikings' resurgence.
Well, this total opened in some places at 6.5. It opened most places at 7, and we're now out to 8, as you alluded to. And I know you're itching and scratching to potentially find some value to look under this total. I can't do it. When you look at the schedule, the reason I personally didn't go over 7 or over 7.5, I think the schedule is just very, very tough. I really do. But when you look at this Vikings team, I'm absolutely, you know, Mike Zimmer's on my man crush list. I think the defense only gets better. When you look offensively, Teddy Bridgewater is going to take that next step. I think when you add a guy like Mike Wallace, who I know a lot of people do not like, but I've seen him down in Miami. The guy's bulked up. He put on 15 pounds. He was promised things in Miami that never came to fruition. I believe he did his job. But right here, Teddy Bridgewater throws a perfect deep ball. That's what he's going to be asked to do. I like Johnson on the opposite side of him. And when you really think about what Mike Wallace brings to a team, you have to game plan for him. You have to keep a safety over the top. And what is that going to allow Adrian Peterson to do? It's going to allow him to run wild with a smaller, less jammed box. And I just think it's going to pose a lot of problems for other teams out there. And I think they, I don't want to say it, but I think it was worth a crack at 9-1 to win the division. It's an interesting team. I like everything about them. Just the schedule is tough.
And I think you talk about schedule. It plays such a huge role. You can love certain teams, but no matter what you feel their ceiling or upside is, sometimes it's better just to stay away from these win totals, especially when they've been beaten into a position. The professionals have already picked apart these bones. No reason to try and rush, especially when you're talking about locking up money for 6-plus months until they're decided. Now, a division that I think is probably the most interesting, not because there's an elite couple of teams there, but you look at the NFC South. Throw a blanket over Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta. All are extremely flawed in some capacity, one way or another. Carolina without Kelvin Benjamin loses the only deep threat, unreliable wide receiver, in my opinion, that Cam Newton had. Tampa Bay, intriguing to see what Jameis Winston will do in his first season. But when you look at those group of four teams, anything really jump off the page at you as far as the win total is concerned?
I think when we kind of address some of these teams, I think the Falcons could be a pleasant surprise. We've seen their division odds go from about plus 250 down to about plus 180. And I think that presents some value. When you take a look at the New Orleans Saints and look at their schedule, they're fortunate. They, I believe, get 11 games inside a dome, which definitely helps what they want to do. Just not sure the defense is going to be anything worse than disastrous. That front seven, oh, it's just brutal. But I think when you talk about value that still remains out there on the board, I think you have to look towards the Carolina Panthers and going under 8.5, even laying that minus 160 number. I think that presents some value. I really do. I'm not in love with Cam Newton getting the money. There was basically an inter-squad scrimmage going on between the Dolphins and the Panthers, and you saw Ndamukong Suh and Cam meet at midfield, and Sue's perspective was, now that I've got the money, I need to go prove I'm worth it. We need to go win a Super Bowl. And Cam's perspective in that conversation from some outsiders that overheard it was, damn, I got paid. You know, we made it. And so that scares me right away. Some injuries on the defensive side of the ball for Carolina. Obviously, injuries on the offensive side of the ball for Carolina with Benjamin out. There's just no weapons there on the outside. None whatsoever. So unless Cam's going to run the ball 15, 20 times a game, I just don't see what this team's doing, especially even in this division. I think under 8.5 is still a very, very good bet at this price.
And the interesting part with Carolina, too, how quickly we forget how many games this team needed to win in a row just to have that single elimination type scenario in Atlanta. They played their best football late in the year, but they struggled for extended stretches. And I would echo your same sentiments. I think you had a chance to go under 8.5 at minus 105 when Kelvin Benjamin was initially ruled out with that lower body injury. Now, even at minus $1.60, I still think there is a ton of value here with their lack of weapons, a good defense. But you mentioned Cam Newton. He always is the X factor. And if he's not willing to use his legs to try and make a his opposing defenses respect his running ability. Carolina is very limited in their offensive capabilities. And Greg Olsen going to have to take on an unfair burden in the passing game. So I think when you look there, I would agree completely. And then, you know, an interesting division from the outside looking in at the NFC West. Seattle, clearly the favorite. San Francisco, we're not quite sure if they'll be as bad as what everyone is expecting, given all the defections, the retirements, the arrests, you name it. They're like a good SEC football team right now with the amount of trouble they get into off the field. And then the Rams, who have looked like a mess offensively. And then Arizona, you know, what do we expect out of Carson Palmer coming back in these Arizona Cardinals as we try and make sense of the picture for the defending Super Bowl loser in the NFC West?
This has become a really, really weird division. I know a lot of the guys, analytical guys, are looking to go under in Seattle. And there's obvious question marks along the offensive line. Cam Chancellor's holdout. He says he's dug his feet in the ground. He's not coming back until he gets a new contract. He is the defensive leader of that team. He puts everybody in the right spot. He gives them that oomph. And so I think they might struggle in those areas, in those facets. But when you look at the rest of the division, Arizona, win total 8.5. I think they're better than that, but again, the schedule is downright difficult. The Rams, everybody's been looking to buy the Rams. I just don't see it. I think Jeff Fisher, I don't know. I thought he was a great coach. He has been dreadful, I think, in his time in St. Louis. It'll be interesting to see how long the leash is. It'll be interesting to see if they do relocate to L.A., if they bring him on or start fresh. So, again, offense looks like a mess. The weapons there, not great. When you talk about Kenny Britt probably being your leading man. The ground game, can Gurley get it going? Is he going to be healthy? If Gurley is what we think he is, even off the knee injury, could be a huge help to this offense. San Francisco, this is an interesting team. Obviously, they've lost everybody. Everybody is so down on them. I'm not going over the win total, but I think this is a team that, again, might present some value down the line. There's a lot of young talent there later on in the year. Could they be a team that just gets so undervalued there becomes a lot of value on them? I'm not a huge Kaepernick guy, and again, I'll relate it back to Ryan Tannehill. This San Francisco organization handled Kaepernick and his contract horribly. We saw through his first couple of years, they really babied him. Lots of rollouts, lots of running. They never really saw what he could do. And now all of a sudden you hand him all this money. Then last year you put him in this category where you want him to be a pocket passer, and he clearly wasn't very good at that. You think you would have probably tried that, figure out if he was decent at it before you handed him out all this money. And in the opposite role, Tannehill basically had nothing handed to him. They made everything difficult for him, and then they paid him the money. So it's just this San Francisco team, I'm just not a huge cap guy. Everyone's gone under, and that's what scares me, is everybody in the world hates the 49ers this year. And I'm just not ready to join that train. I think they could have some value on them throughout the course of the season.
And the current win total at BetOnline right now sits San Francisco 6.5. You can get a healthy +130 coming back. If you think they exceed expectations, if you think this team finishes 6-10 or worse, you're going to have to lay $1.60 on those Niners. You made some interesting points about Seattle and Cam Chancellor holding out for a new contract. For those folks, you know, who don't know Payne all that well, he did the exact same. We were able to negotiate a new deal for him in the 23rd hour to get him back for season 2 of Bet the Board.
Show me the money.
I mean, it's all it takes. You got to try and keep your superstars happy. And as the facilitator and point guard of this podcast, I know I have to feed my horse and make sure he's ready to go each and every week. So we've done a little bit of the win totals, and I think we've given people a lot to kind of digest. The unfortunate part is that some of these numbers have been beat up a bit, so the value's not out there. I think for me personally, at the current numbers, Dallas and Carolina both under make a lot of sense. And beyond that, I just don't see a ton to really get myself all that excited about. And I know people are going to want to go, well, you need some teams to kind of go over the number. I look at the NFL as a league where everything that can go wrong often does. And if there's an injury, which the league is known for time and time again, you're much better served to kind of go under some of these lower win totals, unless you can go over the 6.5s and 7.5s out there when some of these prices first open.
Yeah, I won't argue with you. I think when you look and when these numbers come out, there's a reason there are more wins allocated to these teams than are actual games played. So there's already an inflation going over these numbers. That's first and foremost. The next thing when you look at these totals is they're all with a fresh slate, meaning every single player is accounted for, and we know throughout the course of an NFL season, you're only as good as your backups, you're only as good as your depth. Every single team is going to suffer one major blow this year, and that's just the reality of the situation. And I think the other key thing that we focus on when we talk about these totals and futures, they've been out for months and months. They've been beat up. You're a little late to the party. I think we found two that are very good for you. But for me in general, I'm not a huge futures player, not a huge win total player. For me, I really have to have an edge. I really have to really like something to invest my money for a full 6 months, whereas you never know your week-to-week opportunity. So I really have to like something, and I still really like the two we talked about with Carolina and Dallas. So I think they still present value for our listeners at the current numbers.
Now, if win totals don't really get you going with some of those numbers, there are, of course, other available options. One of the bets that has really grown in popularity are the yes-no props on teams to make the playoffs. And if you go through the usual suspects, you look at teams like New England, they're a $4 favorite to make the postseason. I mean, the Chicago Bears not really going out on a limb, laying $7 to say that they'll miss the playoffs. The Cleveland Browns 1-10 to miss the playoffs. Green Bay -450 to make it. Do you see any value in some of these teams that may be flying a little bit under the radar or beneficiaries of softer schedules? I mean, I get things going there, Payne. I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I see the fact that I did have to lay $1.15 yesterday. It's out to $1.35 at BetOnline now. But a team with so many question marks on the defensive side of the ball, I'm just not sure they're one of the six best in the AFC, and we're going to be talking about them playing football well into the month of January.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. And again, I think I touched on it a little bit earlier in the podcast, is you really have to look at these and see if you can get better value elsewhere. I know you talked about New England potentially saying, oh, it's $4 to make the playoffs. Well, they're -165 to win their division. Do we think Miami, Buffalo, or the Jets are really going to step up in that role? And so these are the kind of things that you need to look at, you need to evaluate, and shop from book to book. And in this instance, it's not even from book to book. It's at the same book. I would much rather play the New England Patriots to win the division at -165 than I would laying $4 to make the playoffs. So those are the kind of things that I think you need to look at.
Yeah, I definitely think it makes a lot of sense. You're going to want to shop around no matter what shop you choose to use for some of the numbers and take full advantage, because you may be able to save a few cents here and there. I know I personally missed the boat on Philadelphia. It's a team that I'm sitting on a futures ticket with, but I wasn't able to go over 9 and lay $1.45. So I elected to go the will they make the playoffs route, lay $1.40 there, figuring that maybe if Dallas exceeds expectations, which I don't think they will, that Philadelphia can get in as a potential second entrant from the NFC East. So always tell people to explore your options, know what your various books are offering, and make sure you leave yourself plenty of outs. And Payne, we've kind of gone through each of these teams individually. When we shift focus to the division odds, we talked at great lengths about the AFC South and how there may still very well be value in the Indianapolis Colts. But do you think there's a team kind of flying under the radar, whether it's a favorite, whether it's a bit of a long shot, that warrants an investment to win their division and kind of surprise some of the football world? But in our case, favorites pay just as much as underdogs if you're risking the right amount of money to win it coming back. And that's one thing I think we'll get across over the course of the season. There's nothing wrong with laying juice if the market differs from your opinion. If you think a team should be a $6 favorite and they're listed at -$3, that works for me, in my opinion. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that, unlike people who gravitate towards taking a +$2 just because they think the fair price should be +$1.50.
I mean, I might have to retract my recycled garbage talk, because the NFC South is basically a pile of feces, but I think we might be able
to... Can we say shit on this podcast? I mean, are we allowed to do that?
I didn't want to press that. I'm usually the guy that goes overboard, so I figured I'd behave myself. But I think the Atlanta Falcons at right around +$2 offers some value. The defense, not really sure what they are, but I think the offense is going to be dynamic. I think the offensive line could be a little better. I think they'll start getting the ground game going a little bit. And I like some of their wide receiver options past the obvious two leaders in their clubhouse. But I just think that they present some value here. Not high on the Saints defense at all, and we've already talked about how we feel the Carolina Panthers are there. I think the Bucs are a little whiles away, but if they could somehow squeak out a few wins early in the season, I know I'm an FSU guy, I'm high on Winston.
Oh, am I going to have to listen to this Winston Kool-Aid drinking all season long? As if EJ Manuel and Christian Ponder before him weren't enough, now I'm going to have to listen to Jameis being the heir apparent to take Florida State quarterback play to the next level.
You know my feelings on EJ Manuel. man, did the Bills get shafted there. He's about the only fifth-year senior that playing at NC State decided to take an 18-yard sack on third and one where they could have kicked the field goal his senior season. Just not my guy. It wasn't an EJ Manuel fan. But I think it's 7.5-1, 7-1, 8-1, it might be worth a flyer because we don't like the Panthers, the Saints defensively. I don't know. So the key here is if the Bucs can kind of hang around early, Jameis gets acclimated to things in the second half of that season, you could have a flyer there. But I think Atlanta at $2 is probably a nice division future I like.
All right, we've covered the South in great detail. Let's run through the other five divisions pretty quick because, as you know, our podcast, we typically like to err on the side of brevity, keep you guys entertained, but not keep you glued to your seats for 2.5 hours at end. So, Payne, if we look at the AFC East, New England, a -210 favorite. If we're looking to pick a winner here, foregone conclusion that the Patriots win, and more importantly, would they offer enough value to try and bet them in that role?
Well, we've seen that number climb at 165, which it was last night. Before this news, I thought it still presented some value. You'd still have to lean that way.
Yeah.
I'm not high on them going over the win total, but when you look at the rest of this division, I know Miami has a quarterback finally, but I still think New England's the team to beat. That's my personal opinion, but if you were to take a flyer on somebody, I think the obvious choice is the Dolphins at 5-1.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some good prices out there. AFC North, I know we've covered in detail. I think, as you mentioned, the Bengals, they lack some of the personnel in the right positions to try and be considered an elite franchise. Baltimore was available as high as 2-1. In my opinion, though, I still think the Ravens at +140 are the most complete team in the North, and I would fully endorse a wager there. When we look at the AFC South, Colts -550 right now at BetOnline. The Texans will give you 9-2, and Jacksonville and Tennessee long shots at 22-1. Is it worth laying it with the Colts or a division you feel like, hey, I'm going to stay away from at this juncture?
Yeah, I mean, I'm staying away from it at this point at almost a 6-1 favorite. If the Texans can get any quarterback play, they could vie for that division. I just don't know if they're going to get anything out of Hoyer, and I know they're not getting anything out of Ryan Mallett. he is a box of rocks. So you're putting your faith in Hoyer. If he can do anything, he's got some weapons. Not a huge Alford Blue fan. Maybe in conjunction with Chris Polk, they can get a little running game there going. But for me at this point, I'm not playing anything.
AFC West, Denver, a favorite, -$1.60. Oakland, a long shot at 20-1. Both Kansas City and San Diego nestled in between. KC, 3-1. San Diego, +350. For me personally, I think Denver wins the division. I'm not buying the hype on the Chiefs just yet. I don't think the Chargers are ready to take the leap. But I'm not laying $1.60 with Denver. I just don't have a great feeling here until I see this offense and know that Peyton Manning is going to be somewhere close to 100%. But I think it's Denver or bust in the West.
Yeah, I'm not playing anything in this division either. I'm not laying $1.60. I think teams may find out that Denver's a little soft up the middle defensively. Their offensive line, not very good. And when you talk about a guy that must be protected, it's Peyton Manning, and I'm just not sure he's going to get that protection needed. We have seen different professionals, depending on which secondary team they like. We've seen them nibble a little bit on the Chiefs, open 5-1 to win the division, now +300. San Diego, +450, now down to +350. So those two teams, depending on who you like better, have gotten a little nibble taken onto them to win the AFC West.
And we talked about the NFC East in great detail. We think Philadelphia is the class there. The bigger question, is there still value at +$1.10, knowing you could have had +160 with Philadelphia to be the division champs no more than a week or 10 days ago?
You know, we saw what they did last year without a quarterback. Mark Sanchez did okay early on. He's an average fill-in. But I think with that ground game, I think they'll be able to keep Bradford semi-helpful, healthy as he can possibly be. At plus money, I still think it's probably the best bet in this division. I still can't figure out the Giants. Know a lot of sharp guys like them. I personally do not like them. So if you talk to people, other professional bettors, they'd likely lean towards taking +500 there. But for me, I still think the Eagles present the best value at the current prices.
Odds to win the NFC North, the Packers, the overwhelming favorite, listed at 1-3. Some intriguing numbers here on the Lions at 9-2, Minnesota at 6-1, the Bears a long shot at 14-1. Any case to be made for the second or third potential teams in this division, or a foregone conclusion that Green Bay will clinch up an NFC North title yet again this season?
You know, I think Green Bay does it. I think Minnesota might, you know, present some value still. And obviously, if you think those are the only two teams that have a chance, you can get kind of creative and play both. But for me, you know, I'm not running to bet anything on the division of the NFC North.
And last but not least, the NFC West, the Seahawks, nearly a 1-5 favorite to repeat as champions there. You're looking at 6-1, the current price at BetOnline for the Arizona Cardinals, 9-1 on the Rams, and the 49ers a long shot at 18-1. We talked at great lengths that maybe the Seahawks under their win total at 11, which will get you back plus 115, makes a lot of sense. But do you think there's another team in the division that can dethrone them atop the conference?
It's really interesting when you break down the intricate little options you have to bet, because we talk about a win total, and a lot of the analytical guys like going under on Seattle's win total. But when you look at the division odds, they opened a minus 180 favorite to win the NFC West, and it's now out to nearly a $5 favorite. So I think it tells you all you need to know about the rest of the division. I'm not as high on the Rams as most people are. San Francisco, obviously, I think I'm going to be a little higher on them than a lot of the people, but clearly they're not going to win the division. Arizona is probably the next choice here at 6-1. They present some value. But I'm probably not running to bet this at this point. But I think of the group, Arizona probably presents some of the better value.
Well, Payne, it's the start to a new football campaign. Of course, the NFL players have the luxury of going through four, or in some cases, five exhibition games to work out some of those kinks and jitters. I feel like we've done an okay job. We're only going to improve throughout the course of the season. I want to say thank you again to BetOnline, who signed on to be our flagship sponsor each and every podcast throughout the fall. As I mentioned, we'll have their marketing director, Dave Mason, to talk about a lot of the perspective from the various sports books out there that BetOnline and how their liabilities, futures, you name it, wins, everything starts to come together throughout the course of the season. And Payne, remember, set your schedule. Next Tuesday, we'll be back to do a season preview, not only of the Patriots, week one preview of the Patriots and the Steelers, but also all those other games that have been on the betting board for a while. Any parting shots for our loyal listeners out there before we can reconvene?
Are you going to give them the goods? Hopefully this podcast is up in time, but maybe why don't you give them the goods for the last preseason week? And give them a little nugget. If
I think we can do that. Of course, the number's been beat up a little bit. Oakland, a 3.5-point underdog, at least when this podcast started. Now a 3-point dog against Seattle. But you know what? I don't think you're even going to need the points in that game in the Pacific Northwest. Tavares Jackson won't be out there. Seattle's going to use players on the depth chart that most of the casual fans and even some of the professionals haven't heard of in the past. Oakland has said that they want to go out there, work out a few of the remaining kinks, and more importantly, a quarterback battle between Mr. McGloin and Ponder under center, I think make Oakland a very live dog for the final preseason game. And like you said, Payne, hopefully this podcast is up in time, otherwise we'll have to use some creative editing to keep all those irate fans at bay and through social media.
Signing off.
And remember, guys, we'll be back on Tuesday to start things off in style for week one. Looking forward to another great year of Bet the Board podcast. And again, make sure you stay tuned and use the hashtag AskBetTheBoard if you have questions for Payne and I to answer throughout the course of the season.